Good afternoon. My name is Jimmy and I'm an addict. We're going to go ahead and get started. Welcome to the sponsorship Behind the Walls workshop here at WSOD 30. I want to thank you all for coming. Let's go ahead and start this with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, can I ask somebody to please come up and read a vision for NA service? Somebody from the group. Somebody who's willing. I love it.
I'm willing.
All right.
I'm not sure if they're going to last. I'm willing but blind.
Like a lot of us.
Not at all. Okay.
My name's Leslie and I'm an addict. A vision for NA service. All of the efforts of Narcotics Anonymous are inspired by the primary purpose of our groups. Upon this common ground, we stand committed. Our vision is that one day, every addict in the world has a chance to experience our message in his or her own language and culture and find the opportunity for a new way of life. Every member, inspired by the gift of recovery, experiences spiritual growth and fulfillment through service. NA service bodies worldwide work together in a spirit of unity and cooperation to support the groups carrying our message of recovery. Narcotics Anonymous has universal recognition and respect as a viable program of recovery. Honesty, trust, and goodwill are the foundation of our service efforts, all of which rely upon the guidance of a loving higher power.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, first question I want to ask is, how many people here are not involved in sponsorship behind the walls right now? Not involved. One, two, three, four, five, six, good. Good. Okay. How many of you are currently involved in sponsorship behind the walls as a committee member or a letter writer? Okay. So about the same amount. I don't know if lunch is running over or what it is. I expected there might be a few more people in here, but I always know that I'm in the right place if I'm trying to do something for the right reasons in NA, and I'm glad I'm here. My name is Jimmy, and I'm from Region 51. That's in Southern Nevada, if you've ever been, never been there. Of the people who are involved with sponsorship behind the walls that raised your hands, can I get you to just say where your committee is?
My name is Michelle, and I'm coming from Napa Solano, Northern California.
Napa Solano. We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
All right. Who else?
I'm Guy. I'm from San Fernando Valley.
Hi, Guy. Yeah, I'm glad you're here. Who else?
I'm Carmen, I'm San Diego.
From San Diego, okay.
I'm Carmen. From San Diego.
Yeah, how you doing? Who else?
San Diego.
Okay, another one from San Diego, great. So we have two from outside San Diego and me, that's three. And then three or four from San Diego, great. And then there's a good representation. So this, I just want to explain what we're going to do here. This is kind of this is a workshop, but it's also a presentation. I like the workshop better part because it's more interactive. I really come here to learn as well as say what I have to say. So the first part of it, about the first maybe 30 minutes or a little bit less, I will give a presentation on how to start a sponsorship behind the walls subcommittee. Now, there's going to be a lot of things that are involved in that presentation that may be beneficial to you, even if you're already involved in a sponsorship behind the wall subcommittee. And then for those of you that are very experienced, I may be going over some things that you truly do already know. So please, let's give the ones that are here for the first time an ear here and be open to that, the newcomer, right? And then what we're going to do is I'm just going to ask if the people that showed up from outside the San Diego area would be willing to just come up and talk for about 5 minutes and just give a brief report about what's going on in your area, okay? And by that, maybe, you know, where you're from, how many members you have, how many people you are now sponsoring within your subcommittee, and anything that you might be proud of that you want to talk about your subcommittee. So that'll be after the presentation. And then we're going to share our own experience, individual experience, about sponsoring an addict who's incarcerated. And sometimes that's the best part. You know, that's our heart. And then we have, we're still going, we have a lot of sponsorship behind the wall, workshop questions on this board over here that we're going to go through. So we should be able to fill up the time. With that, I'm going to go ahead and get started. I almost have laryngitis, so my voice is going out. Please forgive me. Okay, so again, what the beginning, the presentation part is about starting a sponsorship behind the walls program. And our subcommittee in Region 51 was actually born from the WSLD Los Angeles 3 years ago, where I was the regional chair of H&I at that time for Region 51. I was attending that conference, and I went down there, and there were three sponsorship behind the wall subcommittee meetings, and it was the first time I'd ever been to them, and I was blown away, man. I was blown away. And they showed me a couple of different things. One was that we all do it different. And that there's not a bad way to do it. And the other was how much help we need, how much support we need, how needed this service is. It's actually the fastest growing service in, new service in Narcotics Anonymous. It's blowing up. So anyway, I was blown away by that. And there was somebody that got up there and they touched my heart with what they said about what it was like to sponsor somebody inside. And I got a fire going, man. And I went back to my region and we wanted to start a subcommittee and be part of this. So what we did was we got together and we figured, well, we need a chairperson, a vice chair, a secretary, a literature, and we need some members, right? So we kind of got that together. And then after that, we figured how are we going to relate to the rest of the fellowship, and in what avenue are we going to serve? So there's a lot of different ways that can happen. You can be in a subcommittee and you can go right to region. So you can just be part of the region. You can be part of your area and develop a sponsorship behind the walls subcommittee and report to an area. Or you can go through H&I. And we just decided to go through H&I. That's just how we did it. So we have our H&I regional subcommittee. So we're kind of like a subcommittee of that, you know, committee. And so that's just how we do it. So we report to them. And then, of course, you know, we submit a budget, which goes up to region. And so that's how that works. the other thing, and this was really interesting, is how do we get started? So what I did was I got on the internet and I, you know, just Googled sponsorship behind the walls, and I found all this different information all over the country, and I started looking at guidelines and collecting them and figure out, well, how are we going to run ours, right? And I really hit the mother lode when I Googled NAS. Imagine that, right? Let's go back to the source, right? So just so that you know, if you want some information about sponsorship behind the walls, you go to the NAS website, and right there on the homepage, you click for our members, and then there's a drop down, and you click local service resources, and from there, there's a link for the inmate step writing. And once you hit that link, about 50 things come up. There's all kinds of guidelines. There's everything you would want to know about this service is there. And it really opened up. So what I was, I got all this information. I got some emails. I got some phone numbers. And I started calling these people, right, in different places. And I loved the human interaction. I'd like to pick up the phone. I'd like to talk to the person. And the question was that we want to start a subcommittee. We want to know how you did it. And they were all eager to tell us. And it was great because I developed these relationships with people all over the country. We got all these guidelines together. And we formed our own guidelines. We picked out what we thought was needed. And we formed our own guidelines. So from there, we got the word out to our region that we wanted to, that we were forming a committee. We developed a flyer. And so then after that, we gave a presentation at a local learning day. And what happened by this time was we had formed our guidelines. And out of the guidelines, we came up with an orientation. So for new members, we would give them an orientation and let them know exactly the do's and don'ts, you know, of sponsorship, what we do, what we don't do, and because there were 50 people there, they were orientated, right there. We had 50 people who were orientated. Now, who wants to be part of the committee? But it was great because it was a great start. It was a kickstart to what we were going to do, and it was really well received. And from then, we got a P.O. box. So we have to have our own P.O. box. That's just how it is. We can't work with region. We got to have our own stuff. That sucker fills up, all right? And so we got our own P.O. box. We have a yearly payment, and we pay that. That comes out of our budget. And then the next thing we did was really cool. And I've not talked to anybody else who did this. And by the way, I'm up here talking about what we did, and I'm not saying we did it the right way. I'm just saying that we found our way, and there's a lot of ways, right? But one of the things that we did was we contacted the Nevada DOC. So I started, I got some emails, and I made some phone calls, and I got a phone call back from the head person of the Nevada DOC, and it maybe it's because I kept using the word narcotics. I'm not sure, right? But they contacted me. You know, they're like, "What do you want?" And I told them who we were, and I said, "We want you to know that we are willing to come in and volunteer in your penitentiaries through the mail. We will never see the inmates." And I sent them our guidelines so that they could understand what it is that we do and don't do. And so I didn't hear back from the lady for probably 4 or 5 months. I thought she forgot about us, right? She calls me up. I'm at work one day. And she says, "Okay, I want to know, let's go forward." And I'm like, "Okay." And so she sent me this application that they give to any volunteer organization. If you're in H&I, you've probably seen them before. So your committee will have to fill one out in order to be approved to bring people in there, right? So we filled this out, and she helped me to fill it out. And then she held on to it and didn't call me for another 4 months, right? So then she called me back, and she said, "We want you to change a couple things." And I did it. And a week later, she called me back and she said, "You're approved." Now, what did that do? What did that do? It gave us an in, right, with the DOC. And it let us know, it let them know that we will be writing letters. They will be coming from us. And we care about whatever your rules are. We want to follow them. And they were kind of tripping because they were like, "Well, we've never had a real volunteer organization like this." But it was good, right? So we became established. It gave us one more thing. We can now contact any of those of their wardens because we're already involved in their system and say, "Do you need anything? Can we send some books into your library?" You know, we opened doors by doing that, and that was through sponsorship behind the wall. So that was something we were really happy about. So now we have a subcommittee. We have guidelines. We've talked to the DOC. We've done all this thing, but we don't have anybody to write a letter to. Right? Imagine that. I know some of you that are in committees that you're like inundated. So we didn't have anybody to write a letter to. So I contacted Gary, who was one of the guys that was giving a presentation there in WSLD. And I said, man, I noticed your passion at WSLD. Can you help us with some letters? And he goes, I got 6 guys and 2 girls right now. And I'm like, send them. And so he sent them, and we were sponsoring. Bam, right? We got in, man. And you know, we slowly found our way on how to do that. And thank you for that, Gary. You know, that's how we do that. We ask each other. And so we started. We made a decision to work out of the step working guide. Again, let me tell you something. So I've been clean since 1984. When I got clean, we didn't have a step working guide. We didn't have that 4-step guide. Right? We got what our sponsor got. And guess what? We work the steps and we stay clean. I have no problem with steps, you know, that are given to you from your sponsor or anybody else. I just, you know, just as a committee, we threw it out there and said, how we want to do it. And we decided, just for the sake of consistency, that we were going to use a step working guide. So what we did is we copied pages of the step working guide and we sent them page 1. And then they send it back with their answer. So there's no right or wrong way, I don't feel, to do that. But that was our choice. Again, Scott came to me just before this, and he presented me with another way to work steps through our literature. I have no problem with that. But anyway, we decided to do it that way, and we've been doing it since then. And it's been good because we know when somebody says they're on the second step, we know, you know, exactly what's going on and what's being sent to them. Let me tell you what we don't want. We don't want anything sent to them out of a big book. Okay? We just don't want that. We'd rather not, right? We are Narcotics Anonymous. So we started writing letters. And then what we do in our letter is we send them an inmate package. Okay, this is the first thing that they get from us. If somebody writes to our P.O. box or we get a letter from somebody who wants help from us, we send them what we call an inmate package. There's a few things in that package. First thing, there's a letter to an inmate, and we ask them things like, do you have access to NA literature? NA literature. Will you be incarcerated for more than 12 months? That's important. Because we want to work all 12 steps with you. And there's a lot of people now. We have a lot of letters. And so we don't want to just jump in with somebody that's going to be there for 6 months and not take them through the steps. We make a decision like that. We also ask them if they have we send them a reaching out, the magazine Reaching Out. We send them that form so that they can immediately start getting correspondence from Narcotics Anonymous. And then we give them something called the H&I FAQ sheet. Now this you can get on the NAS website, and it is invaluable for them because it tells them about their resources. And their resources are, for one thing, that they can get a book. They can get a basic text, right? So we don't have to send them a basic text. They can get it from Narcotics Anonymous, but it takes a little bit of diligence, and they have to write them at least twice and ask for the book. And so we let them know that they can do this. So we give them the address. We send them this information. The other thing we send them is our sponsorship agreement. Now, this is what we give to our sponsorship. This is part of the orientation. When you decide, yes, I want to do this as a sponsor, so you sign your name to this agreement. And just as for an excerpt, what we let them know, this sponsor gives no rides, visits, loans, phone calls, photos, books, drawings, tapes, contact your family members, friends. We're not going to visit you. We're not going to put money on your books. And we let them know that this sponsor has already signed something. They're not going to do that, right? And also men with men and women with women. So we just do it that way, right? Okay, so what this does is, not only does it let them know what we do, but it also eliminates a lot of people that just want a pen pal. Because basically what we do is we work the 12 steps of NA. That's it. We do nothing else. That's our group. I don't know if any of the other groups what they do, but that's what we do. And so it's good. Because if we don't hear back from them, sometimes we'll send them another letter. Did you get our letter? Whatever. We don't hear back from them. We know they wanted something else. And it's good. So we kind of take care of a couple things with that. And then we send them something that says, it's called What You Need to Do. And we ask them to review the guidelines that we sent them, answer the questions that we have, and let us know if they agree and they want to go forward. So by that time, they've gotten a lot of information about what we do, and they make a decision based on that. So the other thing that we did was we developed a system to log all incoming correspondence, and we attended the inmate step writing webinar. So that is also a NAS presentation that happens twice a year. And so it's over your computer. So if you have a set of headphones or one of those Garth Brooks microphones things, you know, you can actually participate. If you want to ask questions, you can get in there and do that. And here's a really interesting thing about that. When I first got into this, I thought, wow, I'm going to get to go to this webinar. They're going to tell us they're going to finally let us know how to do this, right? NAS, when I logged onto that webinar, it was basically NAS asking us questions, man. And there was people from all over the country, and only about 8 people in that first one that I was in. And we were sharing information in there. And NAS had no guideline. They had no, as a matter of fact, they were kind of blown away by what we were doing. And so I realized, this is the new frontier, right? This is like, there are no real set standards for this. And you know what? Maybe there shouldn't be. Just an idea. Maybe there should be. Maybe there shouldn't be. All I know is that when you write something down and you say, this is the way it is, what happens is a lot of people just want to hold this up and go, you're not doing it right. And I'm not sure that, you know, there's different ways work for different people. And I try to believe that the God of our understanding is going to come through and show us how to do the service the right way. So that's my take on it. So if you want to be involved in that webinar, you just email handy@na.org, that's handi@na.org. Tell them you want to be involved in the next step writing webinar, and they will let you know. Yeah, it's H and I, so it looks like handy, okay, @na.org. Email them, they'll let you know when the next one is. I think it might come with a reminder, I'm not sure. Write it down. Log in, it's great. So then the next thing we did was we developed a system to forward letters. And it's really cool. It's really cool. So we have a couple people that go to our P.O. box, and here's how we do it. They go there with everyone's, they have all the sponsors' addresses, and they know that this sponsee over here is connected with this sponsor. So when they get to the P.O. box, they take their letter, they put it in a little bit larger envelope, put their real address on it, throw a stamp on there, put the return of the P.O. box, and send it to somebody. So that's pretty quick. We're not waiting to get your letter at our monthly meeting. You're getting it as soon as they, you know, I mean, the mail happens in a day or two, especially if it's local, right? But dig this, we actually have sponsors in other states. Yeah, we have sponsors in other states. So we're not just in Nevada. So we just put, you know, so-and-so from Utah or Michigan or wherever. So this letter comes from California, an inmate, comes to our P.O. box, and we send it over here to this guy, and we are the central, correspondence for that. So that's just how we decided to do it. But I think it works good. It seems to work good. And other than that, our committee meets monthly, and You know, I guess that I thought that there would be more people involved and interested in doing this, but it is what it is, right? We know that. We who serve know that we serve because that the reward of service is service. That's it. And so we just keep showing up. We just keep showing up. And so anyway, that's kind of how we did it. I'll just, if there's any questions, I'll answer a couple questions and we'll get on to the next part of this.
It's done through H&I, our sponsorship Behind the Walls is, and I wasn't there in the beginning, you know, when it was all that I was put in after the fact, you know, and one of the things that I am struggling with is for our Spanish-speaking community, for H&I, is that already, literacy is already translated so that we can, or do we have services to translate the paperwork that we have for the Spanish-speaking inmates and,
You know, stuff as like far that. As I know, there is not an official place to go for that. However, there are a lot of Hispanic people in Narcotics Anonymous, and I love it when we can, when two languages can exist together and have a reason to come together for that. So all I can say is that this is my first thought is, you know, grab somebody that's willing to say, this is my part of service right here within the committee. And I will either I don't know about translate so much because, and I'll tell you why, because this is, you know, sponsorship is a very, very personal thing. And nobody sees their step work except for their sponsor.
I'm not referring to like inmates who are sponsees. I'm talking about like the letters that we send out to asking for their clean time,
sure.
But like their inmate number, their how long they have
their incarcerated. Yeah, the initial correspondence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you want to answer it?
Yeah, I have. I'm Gary. I'm the chair for San Diego, and I have some Spanish writers like. I don't speak Spanish. I don't read Spanish. But I have like 10 people that no matter what, I just send them. Here, this is the guy, this is the guy, this is the chick, this is the chick, you know. And if it's not asking directly, like he said, for a sponsor, they write it back in Spanish. I wrote my own little cover letter of, if you're not asking for a sponsor, this is the stuff we really do. This is what we don't do. We don't write parole letters, and we're not pen pals and stuff like that. But, and they just write in Spanish.
Yeah.
And then if they write back, obviously somebody was confused, and maybe they did want to sponsor.
Yeah.
You know? So there's a lot of people that read and write Spanish in Narcotics Anonymous, and actually they step up quicker than everybody else.
Yeah.
How many people in this room read or write Spanish? Okay, so at least a couple. Yeah, and. You know, so.
I'm out of Japan. We actually, Northern California, I'm in Northern California, the vice chair of H&I.
Great.
And we have an entire Spanish region now.
Yeah.
And they are just organizing and coming together.
Yeah.
In Northern California.
Yeah, see, that is beautiful.
It is beautiful. It's a really cool thing to watch happening. And so I definitely see the coordination coming together more and more, and hopefully there'll be more collaboration.
Yeah.
That meeting's going on right now, I think, in another room with the California collaboration. And so hopefully, you know, maybe Southern California and Northern, the different regions for their Spanish speaking will all start putting that together.
Yeah, well, I mean, that might be a great opportunity to just say, can you send a liaison over
Absolutely.
Here? You know, something like that.
Yeah, because we do have the denial letters.
And I did talk about that already.
Did you? I said it with me. So we have the denial letters and the opening letters and all that stuff, but and having it be specifically Spanish-speaking and, you know, English.
Yeah,
so,
you grab an addict that has passion and speaks Spanish.
Yeah, hi, I'm Victoria, I'm an addict.
Hi, Victoria.
From Northern County, Northern California. And I have two parts questions. One, how do you deal with inmates divulging things that might return the butt and the butt? As far as information on certain questions, do you omit certain questions in your step working guide? Things that might get into more offenses?
I can't understand your question. I can't hear you.
So there are certain questions in the step working guide that may, some of the crossings right now. Do you omit those questions?
No. Okay, so we work steps in Narcotics Anonymous. We tell them what we're doing, and they take a risk if they want to put something in there. Okay, they might, I don't know, but they take a risk, and so we're not telling them that they have to do anything. And I, as the sponsor, I let them know that I'm not here to help them incriminate themselves. I'm here to help them work the steps in Narcotics Anonymous, and to be as open and with this as you feel comfortable with. And so, but that is a really good question. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's about, you know, I have a person going into the jails that does just the first three, you know, and does warn people about the information because they're under surveillance. Everything is listened to. Yeah. All their mail is read. And it's important to let people know that, yeah, you know, there could be some issues with that. And also, on the other coin, now in California, a lot of people are able to do the last 4 or 5 years of prison time in the county jails, which is now requiring bigger demand for sponsors by mail,
right,
in the county jails. Right. I don't know if you deal with that in Nevada, but are you experiencing more demand for county jail sponsorship by mail?
We are. And I think that that's an issue with every single one of our committees all over the place. It's just, you know, I mean, look, they're starting to hear about us and they're starting to need us more. You know, there's a bigger demand. It blows my mind when I talk to some of these areas and they say, we have a 2-year, we have a 3-year waiting period. That is sad. That breaks my heart that somebody's willing to work the steps right now with a sponsor and change their life. I've seen people change their life in the penitentiary through working the steps. But, you know, it just means that, you know, more of us need to step up. That's all I can think of. So. Yeah. All right. We're going to go with 2 more questions. Go ahead.
I just want you to run through that inmate package list one more time, maybe. I'm from Lake County, and we have a sponsorship behind the walls in our local jail. I'm the coordinator for that, but I just transferred their letter to a sponsor. But maybe I like the idea of sending them that.
Well, how about if we do this? How about you come up to me after this,
sure,
and I will send you all the PDFs,
all right,
and then you can look on there and go, so what works for us? Just like what we did.
Thank you.
You bet.
Hi, my name is Heidi.
Hi, Heidi.
And it's not a question, but the state of Washington subpoenaed a sponsor a couple years ago and compelled him to share the information that the sponsee had shared with him. It was very much a case like this. And the sponsee wouldn't do it, and it ended up going all the way to the Supreme Court of Washington State. And Washington State passed a law saying that it was a privileged relationship, and that a sponsor need not be compelled to share information about their sponsee. So that's a pretty new law, but you guys might want to keep an eye on this stuff, because a lot of the things that we're trying to change are external. You know, like, this is a problem that we have, like, are they going to read the mail? Will we be compelled? What do we do if there's not enough all the secrets? And so, unfortunately, trying to do our work often depends on what's happening in our government and legislatively, and, you know, so keeping an eye on that stuff and being supportive of that outside stuff when you see it coming up, like going out to vote, it's important. So,
And on that same line, I just wanted to say that so recently there was an appeal for a patient, so I can't disclose the person's name, but it was here in California, and his staff work was actually used to diagnose him.
Yeah. So,
it worked with an MSM personality disorder. And they used the step one is 4-step to do that. So so we actually, I'm a professional in the field and then also a member of Narcotics Anonymous. So from both perspectives, I just want to say that, you know, I don't think that it hurts us to say, you know, oh, it's important to be thorough in our work, like our literature suggests. At the same time, you know, it's important that they understand this, that when they're on parole, they're on probation, when they're in the system, when they are in institutions,
so the,
they have zero privacy. Zero.
Well, I'm just okay. Look, we're gonna go one more statement, and then we gotta move on.
That they have to be careful about what they share, and sometimes we tell them just to share the feelings and not to share any specific details, just in general terms, or just focus on the principle.
Right. And that is so, I'm so glad we're going to close with that, because that's really the problem, right? It isn't the specific things that we did or didn't do, right? I mean, when we talk about the exact nature, we got to look at what that is. You know, where did that come from? Where did that pain come from? What was the motivation there? And this is the stuff that we got to deal with. So thank you so much. So okay, so we're going to take a minute here, and we're just going to ask a couple of the people from outside to maybe come up to the podium and give 5 minutes or under. If it's 3 minutes, that's great. Just a little abbreviated version of what's going on with your sponsorship behind the walls committee at this point. I'm going to ask Bill to come up first.
Anyway, my name is Bill, and I sponsor several people. Actually, four have written me, and two have written back and provided me their first steps. And the first steps, one of them is like 26 pages long, and it's on yellow paper. And they said whatever they wanted. This one guy had 123 years that he's serving, and he put down murder and all this other stuff, but that's what he got convicted for, so that was nuts. Not a problem, but I guess it is a problem. So anyway, what I do for that one is I go on my computer and I try to read through it and answer it. Like if I have questions about a specific part area, ask them a question and say, try to expand on it. And then I'll eventually send that out. So it takes a long time to do it, but that's fine. I can do it in several days. But I want to make sure that for me, that it's typed out, because I don't write that great, and it's easier to, you know, send it out that way. And then my second one did the same thing, but this one was on white paper, and he sent me like 14 pages. And again, on the first step. So once I get through with the first step, you know, then it goes on later there with the second step, and hopefully they'll continue. The other people never responded back. They just never said anything. So I'm not doing too bad. That's 50% of the people are responding back. But I don't return their step back. I keep it. You know, I don't respond. All I do is send out my info to them, and then hopefully they'll contact me back with that. But I don't know. It is hard. Like some people say, you know, it's you're looking at all that big step that you're working on, and some of the answers, you know, it's kind of hard. If they don't want to answer, they just don't answer. I've had a couple of people, you know, put, you know, non applicable. And that's fine, you know, that's up to them. They don't have to, like some lady was saying, I don't take out a specific question, so they don't have to answer that. I just let them answer whatever they want to answer and however they want to answer. They know, they've been in that system, they know that that correspondence is read. So it's not like they're, you know, they're dumb or anything. So they're very knowledgeable about that individual. My wife is a secretary, and she loves the sponsorship behind the walls. And she went through a webinar with Jimmy. Not very many people showed up, but she really likes it. So if you get a chance, you need to do that. And we're getting more and more people. I guess our biggest problem is, trying to, again, get sponsored. That we'll do that. Any questions for me?
Thank you.
Okay, so do any other areas or regions or sponsors behind the wall committees, would you like to send a representative up here and say, like, where you're from, how many members you have, how many people you're sponsoring, anything you want to say about your committee? Here you come.
Okay. My name is Guy. I'm an addict from the San Fernando Valley area, Southern California. We formed our subcommittee. We elected an ad hoc committee, of course, at first. It was after the Southern California Regional had already established a sponsorship behind the wall subcommittee, or committee, which however you want to look at it. we felt we needed to have one. We have a working relationship with them. We are a standalone, for the most part. We're a standalone subcommittee in that we don't answer to the Southern California Regional Subcommittee, but we do take overflow because sometimes there's a backlog. You know, there are a lot of inmates who want to work the steps. And like Gary said, we have to explain to them that it's not going to go in your C file. We don't write parole letters. We're not putting anything on your trust account. We're not going to forward mail to your old lady in another institution. You know, and we're not going to make phone calls for you. We're not going to come visit you. But we have to do it in a kind and loving manner, you know. It's a little bit more difficult building that relationship with someone who you're not being able to see face to face. When someone comes up to you in a meeting and asks you if you'll sponsor them, it's a lot easier to, I'm not going to say, let's use the word assess, you know, their desire. Because the more the desire, the easier it is to work with. You know, I'm sure everyone will admit that. What we do is they send us a letter asking for a sponsor because we've already put out everything through the information officers in the prisons in California. They send us a letter asking for a sponsor. We then send them basically an application that asks them how much time they have left, because we do have a requirement for that. We ask for a minimum of 1 year before they either come up for their next parole hearing or the release date, an established release date. Because it does take a little bit of time. Time gets eaten up. I don't know how many in here have ever been incarcerated, especially in a penitentiary. There's a little bit of time lag in letters going back and forth. You know, so in my opinion, time is of the essence in doing that. In that first letter, we ask them whether they have the material at hand. Now, a lot of institutions have stuff in the library, but that means that it can be recalled at any time. We want them to have their own literature so that they can put their name on the edge of those pages so that the COs cannot take it from them. It's theirs. We send them the basic text. We send them a works, how, and why, and we send them the step working guide. We work from the step working guide for a couple of different reasons. One of the main ones is continuity. In case a sponsor drops out, that following sponsor will be able to pick it up, and it's not like, well, here's the way I do it, you know. And also, we have a lot of inmates in the same institutions, some in the same cell block, and if they're going to be comparing stuff, we'd like it to have a reasonable semblance of being from the same material. One of my sponsees in Chuckawalla, a little over a year ago, copied the application. See, we always know how many applications we've sent out. That's all done. That's the current chair. That's part of his responsibilities. I was a chair for 2 years. I'm now the acting vice chair. But they always know how many they've sent out. They keep a log. We're all logged, you know. And all of a sudden, we got in like 18 applications from Chuckawalla, from all these guys, because he had done that. I didn't receive the letter from him saying, I hope you don't mind, until about 2 weeks after we received all of these applications. My particular passion for this particular way of being of service is when I was incarcerated. The last time I was incarcerated, I went in with 2 years and 9 months clean. I emphasize the word clean. because there was no recovery and not an ounce of spirituality in me. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done something to land myself in prison. And my sponsor at the time died of brain cancer while I was incarcerated. And when I found out about this, I wish that had been there when I was there. And I know how many people really desired this. When I was in there, I wrote to World Services twice, got them to send me in a copy of the basic text, and the four or five guys that I hung around with were clean. We went in clean, and we talked recovery in there. By the time I left, this group of four or five guys, there were 30 people who were meeting once a week at an NA meeting from a book that was sent in from World Services. So I know the desire, I know the need, and it's a wonderful way to be of service. So thank you.
Thank you, God. All right, somebody else want to give a report from there? Thanks a lot, Pat.
It's just completely different. Okay, so I'm Christine and I'm an addict. I'm here on behalf of the Southern California Sponsored Beyond the Walls subcommittee. This is just an update. We're one of the subcommittees that has this huge backlog. We just don't have enough people who are willing to step up to be sponsors. And we are a little more rigid than some places. Some places will you can just be a sponsor by clicking anonymously on some website and you get given somebody. We're not like that. We're a lot, we're more careful because we took the time to create these relationships with the prisons. So anyway, because we have a backlog of 2 to 3 years, people have been waiting to be sponsored, we decided to do kind of along the lines of what Santa Cruz is doing. So what Santa Cruz started doing a few years ago is they started giving them, anyone who wrote in, 3 assignments. And then once you finish all 3, then you're ready to be sponsored. So we ourselves have now implemented that. When we first heard about it, our committee was not for it. And then our backlog continued to grow. So now we give it to everybody, new and old. We've dealt with our entire backlog. So we give them 3 IPs. We send them another look, triangle of self-obsession, and sponsorship. And the reason why I do that is because it can be discouraging. So let's say we have someone who's interested to be a sponsor, and they get 2 or 3 sponsees to write. But they could have left, they don't write back. It's discouraging. And so we want to give people who want to be sponsors sponsees who we know are going to write. This will encourage them, hopefully, to stay in service. You know, because we have a lot of people who are gung-ho in the beginning, and then they may get 1 response back out of the 5 sponsees who write in, or whatever. So that's just an update of what we are doing in our subcommittee at this time. I know we have Washington, Idaho in the House, Sponsorship Beyond the Walls, so they may want to share. I also went to the Western Multizonal Service Symposium in Milwaukee. And Milwaukee is one of those places that have very few controls. That anybody, any member, can go to the Milwaukee NA website, click if you want to sponsor, and you'll get a sponsee. You know, it's one way of doing it. Not to judge anybody, but our committee would never do that. It is what it is. But okay, so that's it. Thanks. Okay. The 3 assignments are that we send them IPs. Well, okay. Our initial package is similar to what Region 5051 does. We send a subscription to Reaching Out. We give them a sponsorship correspondence agreement. We send them a list of do's and don'ts, which we also have in Spanish. So we know that they know that they're clear that we only work steps. We're not pen palling. We're not going to send them anything. So we send them that first. If they write back, then we send them assignment number 1, which is the IP, another look. Because a lot of the IPs are not applicable for people who are not incarcerated. At least with another look, you can apply it if you're incarcerated or not. So give them an idea about what is NA and what is addiction. Then if they send that back, then we send the second IP, which is the triangle of self-obsession. They don't have to write much,
paragraph, whatever, just to kind of get into the mindset. And if they send them back, we send them a third assignment, which is sponsorship. What is sponsorship, you know? So they just have to write a paragraph. We have had some people send back blank sheets of paper, and we resend the same assignment. But believe me, the ones that have been waiting for a really long time, they're sending, they're happy. They just, you know, to have some kind of back and forth, you know, about what's going on. Because we really do want to serve as many people as possible, but we just don't have the manpower. So we have had to resort to this.
Thank you so much. All right, if somebody wants to give one more report under 5 minutes from their... Great. I think I've seen you at one of these before.
I'm Kian. I'm an addict. And I'm the Washington, Northern Idaho region, and we call it Working Steps for Recovery Behind the Walls. So we call a sponsor a step mentor. But we do pretty much similar. They write to us, we send a packet. Now where we're at right now is I am a committee under, I'm a coordinator under our PR committee at Region. So we meet, you know, PI meets, H&I meets. I usually give a report at H&I and then we meet together at PR, and then we just added a DOC coordinator because in Washington, I can't just blanket all of Washington DOCs. I have to go one by one by one to get the program accepted in there. And so the WCCW, which is the women's prison, we've been in there because we had, we called it sponsorship by mail. I want to say that's about 10 years old, and then we incorporated it into Working Steps for Recovery. So that one is going, that's pretty much where I get most of my letters, and we just got into a federal detention facility. But that took probably over a year of just talking to them, 6 months of them reading, you know, the information that we gave them, and just, I don't know, maybe a couple weeks ago, we finally got in, and then a couple inmates wrote letters, and they got their letters sent back. I don't know why. It said return to senders, like it went to the wrong P.O. box. So I'm like, you know, great. That's how that started out. So hopefully there's nothing wrong on our side, because I wanted to make sure, did we pay the P.O. box? You know, because I was thinking, oh, my God, that would be a nightmare starting all over again. So... And so we've sent information to Walla Walla, the main correction facility, and still I email them back and forth. And so it's just really difficult. And you don't want to go, you know, if we're already facilitating the prison, I don't want to go and come in from another direction, because then they'll be like, well, who's this person from Narcotics Anonymous? I've been working with Mike from Narcotics Anonymous for 10 years, and, you know, who's this Kia person coming in there? So it's been a struggle as far as that goes, so we don't have a lot of letters coming in. I did just put our address on the list of all the different... sponsorship behind the walls at NAS.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I did just do that. And so when we first started the, I've been the Working Steps for Recovery Coordinator for, I'm going on 3 years. It's a 2-year commitment. So I'm in my second term of it. So that's about how long since our guidelines got approved. That was a long process in and of itself, too. Okay, and so what was I going to say about that? Oh, so I went around and did all the orientations, and then I didn't have any letters to send. So like what you were talking about. And then if I do send them a letter, and then the person doesn't write, so I'm going to use some of these things, too. I've done a little bit of just sending them another letter and getting them to send me a little bit more information before I pass it on, because they get burnt out. They're like, well, they start thinking maybe I'm saying something wrong, or, you know, and start questioning themselves. And I don't know if it's different with the men than the women, but the women are very, because we use pen names, they don't really like that too much. You know, they want a relationship. But we do have some success stories. I mean, we have one woman, she worked through all 12 steps. She is out. She's been in the community. She's working. She's going to meetings. She sponsors women. We know that, you know, we know that she got out. So we've probably taken about 3 women in the last couple of years through all 12 steps. And they're clean in the community. So we do have that success story. So maybe in another year, I will be saying I have a backlog of letters. Hopefully, I'll be on top of that and be moving forward there.
All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right. We're going to go ahead and move forward a little bit on some of the questions that we have. There are some questions on this board, but I'd like to see if there's anybody any of us here that would be willing to write down the answers, that have, you know, that can write good. You would? Thank you. You're right there, and you're right there. What's your name?
Ari.
Ari?
I'm an addict.
Hey, let's give her a hand. Stepping up in NA. Yeah, so we'll just go to the first one.
Yeah, girl.
And they'll just rip right off there. You can actually just peel it. Yeah. I just go up. Yeah. It gets sticky on top. There you go.
Right. I ripped out half the question.
Did you?
No.
Can you guys read it? Will you read it, Harry?
What is attractive about doing sponsorship behind the wall service?
All right. So maybe just a couple of answers, and then we'll go to the next question. What is attractive about? There's a pen inside there, inside that bag. No, the black one hanging there. It's connected to the easel.
Holy crap! It was like.
Yeah. So you said was what?
Being able to help somebody through the steps.
Yeah, being able to help someone through the steps. Here's what I'll just say something about that while she's writing. Being able to help someone through the steps is that. People that are incarcerated, they're hearing about Narcotics Anonymous. They're in the penitentiary, and they want a better way of life. And they may not be getting out for a while, but they want a better way of life. And sometimes there's meetings that come in there, and they hear people share, and they connect, and they just don't want what they have anymore, just like us. So, yeah. We're going to go one more here.
When we put it out to our fellowship, asking people to volunteer to write correspondence in NA, we stress that. This is a commitment that you can do at home in your underwear.
Okay, so you can do it at home in your underwear. Well, that's another good reason to be involved. Okay, we're going to go one more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
can relate to them.
Go ahead.
I said I'll do it at home.
What's attractive about it? I can relate
to them. You can relate?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, for somebody who may not be able to be cleared,
there you go. There you go. Okay. Somebody may not be able to otherwise serve. Okay. This is a great question. The next one. And what we're going to do is I think that these will go. Can we get somebody else to help up here? Will you help? All right. So when you peel that up, you can stick it on the wall right there. Yeah, it'll just. You just stick them on the wall, Rita. All right. All right. So, I know the next question, so I'm going to go ahead and ask it while they're doing this. Is the sponsorship relationship in the system different from an in-person sponsorship relationship? Is it different? Or how is it different? Gary?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. It's different.
Because you can't really do a fifth step and
You know, the question came up earlier, how do you go four step without anything going out, you know? So you have to be very selective of how you get them to recover without incriminating and doing further damage.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
It's totally different. No personal interaction.
All right. So his answer was absolutely and.
Absolutely.
All right.
Definitely agree with that. Very sense, but also
just absolutely.
Difficulty building
yes,
a relationship.
Yeah.
It's a there's difficulty building a relationship. So there's more involved there. Let me see.
Let's see how we're doing.
All right.
All right.
We'll go with one more. One more answer.
What was two?
Difficulty building relationships. Okay, can you say that so she can write it down? Just
a mild inventory.
Yeah, a mild inventory. There you go.
Yeah,
thank you.
Earlier about focusing on the feelings, not specific details.
Okay, yeah. We'll write that down and we'll go to the next one. All right, this is a really good question. I know I got you going quick. So here's the next question. Rip it off there. Get ready. I love this question. What is it? Can you read it to him?
Does the sponsorship behind the walls effectively fulfill our primary purpose?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Yeah. How cool is that?
Yes.
Right? You had your hand up.
Yeah, I was going to say, it also gives them the knowledge to be able to give back while they're, you know, are still in there. So the women or the men that are in the facility,
right.
People are working with all
that. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. The next question will be, what is it?
What barriers prevent you from doing service through sponsorship behind the walls?
Okay.
So, I'm glad that this came up, but this is actually, I wanted to see if I can make a suggestion. It's actually a barrier, I think, for our fellowship. So I work in forensic mental health, and I don't think that our packages adequately address the thousands of people that are in that particular system. So they are not inmates, and they don't have outdates. So when we ask them, you know, do you have more than 12 months, they don't know how to respond to that.
Right.
And when we respond to them as inmates, they don't know how to respond to that. So I think it's a barrier. And I would hope that somehow we can change some of our language either to incorporate both,
mm-hmm.
have the letter incorporate all different kinds of facilities, prisons, jails, institutions.
So
create different letters because we are not really fulfilling our primary purpose. We are exclusive. We're excluding thousands of people.
All right. So they don't speak to they don't speak to all addicts.
That's why I'm here.
Okay.
So what you're saying is that they don't speak to all addicts. Our system does not speak to all addicts.
This particular sponsorship behind the walls does not. There's Atascadero, there's Metro, there's Covalinga, Patton, there's Napa, there's thousands
of
people.
We have sponsors in all the mental institutions.
I know that we do.
We'll go ahead and go to another question. Thank you so much.
A lot of people, especially guys, they don't write really well. I can't spell really good.
That is so great. I don't write very well.
But so a solution for that is most devices have a voice text option that you can write all my reports by talking to my computer.
Yeah.
And then I just correct.
It's great. It's great. So that I don't write good enough to.
No, for the sponsor.
Well enough.
For the sponsor.
I don't write well enough.
Like the sponsor, a lot of people don't.
That was the answer.
Very well. They don't like to write.
Okay. All right, we're going to go.
I'm not lazy.
I'm lazy.
Hold on, what's...
All right.
Critter, go ahead.
I know just from what, while I was incarcerated, we did a lot of correspondence by tape. That's where you go in and you dictate to the tape or whatever, instead of having to write. I mean, because there's a lot of people that are illiterate or incarcerated. They're doing like college courses and stuff like that, and they do it through correspondence tape.
Yeah. That's great.
Okay, well, there's maybe something.
It's another way, another idea. What does this say? What does the next one say?
Should sponsorship behind the wall serve only prisons in their state or region?
No.
Or
no.
So the answer is no.
I don't deny anybody.
Right.
All right. I deny no letter that comes to me, whether it's a county jail, state facility, Northern California, Southern California, Michigan. I get letters from a kids camp in Pennsylvania, and quite frankly, like when I was really, really passionate, like Jimmy actually fired me up to where I'm not going to step down from my chair position right now. This whole little workshop decided that San Diego is going to just keep it alive for a little while until my, you know, frustration kicks in again. But like a kid told me that San Diego responded to his cellie, and like the next week I got 13 more letters. All of them said that San Diego was the first region to respond.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so your answer, yeah, let's clap for that. So your answer is no.
No.
All right. And we have one more answer back here. Yeah. So.
Share resources with other areas. Maybe some of those people on waiting lists wouldn't be on waiting lists.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're talking about a huge solution right here. Huge solution. So basically, what I'm hearing you guys say is that an addict is an addict. If they're in Wyoming, if they're in Kansas, if they're in Mexico, no matter where they are, they're an addict, right?
It kind of relates to this. So if one area or region has a backlog,
yeah,
right, 3 years, so they can spread out to other regions if they want to collaborate.
Absolutely.
That's right. If you have a backlog, I'm going to... Right. Like. Okay, let's just do this. Let's just ask for the committees to raise your hand if you would be willing to give some of the letters to other committees that need letters. Please raise your hand. Okay, so look, anybody, all right? So please, talk afterwards. All right, let me see where we are right now. I would
we have people in jail who want sponsors. We don't have sponsorship behind the walls at the jail where I'm at. So we want...
The world will send them a list of all addicts.
Right.
Thank
and
you.
That's on that FAQ. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry.
That's
all right. You have one hand up. We're almost done here, guys. I really want to give everyone respect. Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're gonna. Let me see where we are. What does that question say right there?
What fears do you have about sponsorship behind the wall service?
Any fears about sponsorship behind the wall service?
Most of the time, it's your address.
Your own address.
And your name and your address.
Okay. And we talked about how to take care of that.
Not having
Right. You know what I think about that? I mean, I understand that fear. You don't want it to, like, it overwhelm you. But you know the thing about the starfish? You know? The thing about that, well, we're addicts, man. And we do the best that we can. You know? So,
gentlemen. Hey, John, I'm an addict.
Hey, Don.
I'm
our
HI chairperson for SVGNA, Vanessa Burial. And what has been happening is I get letters that are sent to our PO box, and then they're given to me, and then I hand them to the correct people. They're going to that jail, this jail, that prison, whatever, and let them, because they might know that person. I know we don't take information in and out, but that person that goes into that facility or jail knows what to do. How to contact that person, that's what we do in our area.
Okay.
Alright.
So
that way you don't have to worry about giving out your address.
Anonymity. We'll go right here and then we're going to go to the next question.
For me, my fear is that I'm not going to be the responsible.
That you're what?
Not going to be the responsible.
I'm so glad you said that. I am so glad you said that. You know, so many of us, we limit ourselves in the work that we can do through our higher power in Narcotics Anonymous because we keep getting stuck with that same old voice that says we're not good enough, we can't do enough, I've never been to prison, all this stuff, and it's all bull. It's all bullshit. You know what I mean? But thank you for saying that because that is a fear. All right, we'll go to the next one.
Challenges have you experienced as a sponsorship behind the wall sponsor? I got a letter from someone, and the way they did it is they took a picture of the letter and emailed it to me, and I was supposed to respond. And I really have life happening for me. My kids go to a mental health facility and all this stuff, and I go, damn it, I haven't wrote that lady. It's like 3 weeks later, I had to email that lady back and say, look, I need you to find another sponsor because I can't be available for this woman right now. That was hard for me.
I'm really glad you said that, and I'm going to tell you, when you first come to our committee, and you say, I want to be a sponsor, we say, will you take them through all 12 steps? And one of the things that said you have to respond to them in 2 weeks, and I'm not saying you did anything wrong because we all have lives, but we have to look at this. Maybe we can only take one sponsee instead of four, right? But we take that sponsee and we take it serious. And a lot of the people that are in the penitentiary have been told something and not given it for so long. And so, as a representative of Narcotics Anonymous, man, we want to be there for them for those steps. It's huge. It's huge. I did the same thing. And I'm on this committee. It took me a month to get back to this guy, and I felt like crap. So, I get it. All right. One more, and then we're going to go.
I just want to say real quick, H9 carries a message into these institutions, and this gives us an opportunity to give them an opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we'll go the last one.
Did you just say you were 2 weeks?
We have a 2 weeks, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and anybody who wants to, if you come to me afterwards, I'll give you my email, and I will send you all of our stuff, and you can look at that. I would say, well, okay, so we respond within 2 weeks. You have to have worked all 12 steps before you're a sponsor. I'm going to tell you why. They will lap your ass, okay? They will get down, okay? What's the last question?
What challenges have you experienced within your sponsorship behind the walls committee?
Your committee. Okay, just a couple on that, okay? We're going to go right here.
Okay, my name is Michelle Manning. So one of the challenges I've had within our SPTW committee is having sponsors actually follow through. And then they find out that they're not interested anymore. Well, send me the packet of letters back because we also have them do 3 assignments before. That whole packet goes to them, and then when they opt out because they feel like they can't do it, send me the stuff back and we'll get them another sponsor. But they either lose it or this, and they send in some work to do that. You know, and this is their inmates. This means they should be put to them.
Yeah, okay. All right, listen, guys, we're it's 2:14 right now. We end at 2:15, and I want somebody to answer the last question. this is big. And I really want you to think about this. Because this is a good word, a good place to end. That you had your first. Will you please stand up? I can hardly hear you. No, the girl with the hat. No. Okay. Oh, no. You. Okay. We get two. We get the guy. Okay. First the girl with the hat. Then the guy with the hat. And then that's it. All right. Gary, take us out here, brother. No, stand up. Please, finish.
The best thing is when a lifer gets out and you're at the wrong meeting because you don't go to it, and they just want to meet their sponsor.
Wow.
I heard all about anonymity, and I was in a wrong town. No way I should have been at that meeting, and he just wanted to meet Gary P., his behind-the-wall sponsor, and it was the first one I ever took.
Wow.
And he's one of the first batch of lifers to get out. So.
Yeah. Beautiful. Christine, and then next one.
I just want to say that we have people who are coming out, who have had for all hostels within an institution, and some of them are coming out and becoming sponsors behind the wall.
Yeah, you hear that? Okay, we're going to end with that. Some of the people that are coming out now have worked all 12 steps and are now becoming sponsors behind the wall. Hey, I want to thank you all for coming. Thank you so much for your participation.